Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And we are focusing today's episode on avalanche safety. It has certainly been a difficult and dangerous year and deadly year for avalanches in the U.S. So far, there have been at least 26 avalanche fatalities in the U.S. in February alone. That was the number in February alone, and 33 fatalities throughout the U.S. It has not overcome the record for avalanche fatalities in the U.S., but we are getting very close to approaching that unfortunate record. And so joining us today to talk more about avalanche safety and being in the backcountry safely and the realities for it, we are very glad to have with us Becky Headley, an ER nurse and avalanche rescue specialist who represents the Friends of Bertha de Pass. Becca, thanks so much for calling into the show and joining us virtually.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, and we also are very pleased to have with us part of the Mountain Chalet Group, one of the owners of the Mountain Chalet, Elaine Smith. And Elaine, we know that you help equip and outfit backcountry skiers and hikers and snowboarders. And so I'm sure that you bring a lot of that expertise to what we're going to be talking about here today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having us here. We're excited to be here, and we're glad you're talking about this topic. It's so important.
Right, because it's not just a matter of having the expertise, but also having the right gear. We're going to be talking a little bit about that in just a moment. But first, let's focus on the Friends of Bertha de Pass. For people who don't know what this group is, Becca, why don't you explain a little bit about it?
Yeah, so Friends of Bertha de Pass is a completely volunteer-run group. We are a grassroots collective of backcountry enthusiasts, and basically we're committed to preserving the legacy of public recreation, and we do that at Bertha de Pass through safety and access and education to the public. We actually started in 2003 by a group of ski patrollers and backcountry riders. Bertha de Pass actually used to be a fully operating ski resort, and when it shut down, there were quite a few accidents happening, and people realized that there was a big gap between education and knowledge and skiing abilities and accidents. So they formed this group, and we're still running completely volunteer run this year. We've got a full panel of board members. We've got instructors. There's five of us that teach classes. And then we've got a full panel of team members, and everyone's got families and day jobs, but this is just truly our passion. And then in the summertime, we do an annual trash cleanup on the pass to kind of maintain our mission of preserving Bertha de Pass. And pre-COVID, we would also host a couple events with different ski movies and raffles. But this year, we did completely virtual classroom sessions. We had between 20 to 30 classes. So that way, we can make a completely free option for people to get a good basic foundation of avalanche education before they kind of progress and get a higher level through level one.
Right. And speaking of the avalanche deaths that we've seen in the U.S. so far, a very high number so far, almost reaching the record that was set back in 2008 and again in 2010 of 36 avalanche deaths. So knowing that, how important do you think this information is for people to obtain if they're interested in this kind of recreation?
Oh my gosh, I think it is so pertinent. I think this year alone, I mean, we've had 26 in February. It's been 11 fatalities in Colorado this season. And, you know, the more that they talk, the professionals talk about the snowpack, the more that we realize that we truly haven't seen as unstable or dangerous, really, of a snowpack since 2012. So we're kind of at this point, we're really, you know, reiterating that people are kind of taking a gamble on really steep slopes this season. And so it's really important to kind of, you know all of your resources and make sure that you're making good choices and getting all of the information and getting educated so that you can make good choices, because it is just a really rough year for backcountry skiing in general. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting a lot more traffic with the resorts shutting down and doing reservation systems. So people are kind of branching out. So it's really just so important that people, you know, do things safely and correctly the first time so they don't get in those accidents. experience.
Right, because if you're a visitor here and you get shut down because you weren't able to get a reservation for a ski pass, turning to backcountry skiing without the proper background, proper experience, proper gear could be a very dangerous choice. Let's move to Elaine Smith. We're going to talk to you a little bit later on, Becca. But Elaine, with Mountain Chalet, I'm assuming that you have been busy supplying backcountry skiers and snowboarders and snowshoers for quite some time.
We have. We actually were founded back in 1968. So in May, we're approaching our 53rd birthday, and we're happy about that. And we're happy to be in this community that long, growing with it. We have customers come in who are passionate about the outdoors, and that's the same way that we feel. So we love to work with them to make sure that they're outfitted, and that's apparel and equipment and knowledge before they go into the backcountry or into the mountains at all. So we want them to have the best experience, have the most fun, get what they're after by going into the mountains, but we also want them to be safe so that they can return for another day and another day and another day.
Because the reality is, someone who is just starting to transition perhaps from skiing groomed slopes in a resort is not ready to be tackling backcountry skiing, wouldn't you say?
Precisely. You're absolutely correct. There's a lot to learn about the equipment that you might be getting and how you might be skiing, but also so much to learn and to know about getting into the backcountry and traveling in avalanche terrain. So that's what we're both about, both Becca and the chalet, about getting people to be aware, to be very knowledgeable, and actually to practice a lot before they take their first steps into the backcountry skiing or otherwise.
And when you say practice, does that mean going out on some more, I guess, safely traversed mountain sides?
Yes, there's lots of ways to practice. One of the things that we're actually doing here at, which we'll get into a little later, we have some beacon practice, which is what we'll talk about, a piece of safety gear that's important that people may purchase it. They may think they have it with them, but they haven't used it too much because if you're never in an avalanche, you're not going to be using it. So we want people to be really prepared before they go, know how that beacon works, because it could, if it has to, save somebody's life. So we have practice sessions that we're inviting folks to come to. It's a really safe environment for people to get that beacon out, see how it works, and we'll run through them different scenarios so that they can feel more comfortable with how it works.
All right. We're going to be talking a little bit about that, like you said, later on in the show. Becca, before we go to break, you mentioned a little bit about why this is shaping up to be the conditions ripe for avalanches that we haven't seen since maybe 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I guess now. Would you say that it's a combination of getting those snows, but also, I guess, what is it that lays those conditions out that are ripe for avalanches?
So it's kind of a combination. So we've had a pretty rough snow season so far. And then the problem is that we're kind of getting these huge temperature gradients. So we're getting a lot of changes in temperatures. We're getting hot days, cold days, and the snowpack really isn't getting a chance to bond with different layers beneath it. So every time we get that storm, you've got those weak layers that are underneath the snowpack, and people are excited to get out and ski it, and you really have to give it time to kind of bond. And you really want to give that snowpack time to kind of settle down and to stabilize. And by time, we're talking maybe a couple of days. You know, sometimes I give it almost up to a week, depending on what the forecast is saying for avalanche danger. And it's really just kind of making sure you give the storms time to kind of settle down and stabilize, because I think that we're getting a lot of people that are snow hungry, and we're just getting a rough year for weather right now. So we're really not getting a very stable snowpack in general. And it's just kind of a really perfect storm of a lot of high traffic use in the backcountry and just really poor snowfall with a lot of changes in temperatures every day.
Okay. We are going to take a short break right now. When we come back, though, we are continuing the discussion about avalanche safety as Colorado and the U.S. sees a near record number of avalanche deaths and approaching the record. It looks very likely that we are going to top that record this year unless things don't change soon. We are going to be talking about what you need to know if you are tackling the backcountry, and also maybe some warnings. Maybe this will serve as your advice that you are not ready for this kind of skiing, this kind of exploration. And if you do want to do it, how to do so safely. That's all coming up as The Extra continues. And welcome back to our next segment of The Extra. Today we are talking about avalanche safety, so important in Colorado, so important for people who love the outdoors. I'm joined right now by Elaine Smith, who is the co-owner of Mountain Chalet, and also Becca, Becca Headley, who is an ER nurse and avalanche rescue specialist who represents the Friends of Berthoud Pass. And during the break, we were chatting, and one of the great learning opportunities that has been around for, it sounds like, some years is Friends of Berthoud Pass and the Mountain Chalet teaming up to provide backcountry safety seminars and classes, it sounds like. Is that right, Becca?
It is, yeah. So during the pre-COVID times, when life was a little easier, we do avalanche awareness courses that are at different events and venues. So it's basically 2 to 3 hours long, and it involves a lecture portion with a Q&A afterwards. And we started kind of hosting them at different places around Denver and then Colorado Springs as well to make it more accessible for the public. And then we started doing it at Mountain Chalet a couple years ago, and that's when Elaine and I linked up, and we realized that we kind of had a really good trend going, and we were trying to bring more options to the Colorado Springs area. But these courses, you know, we do them in the Zoom format this year, trying to, you know, work with and roll with the punches. And generally, we love to have people come out, and we do an on the snow event at the end of the season, where if you've attended one of our avalanche awareness classes, then you can sign up and register online for our on snow course. And we'll do a full day up on the pass. We'll go over beacon shovel probe, the very basics. We'll teach you how to use your gear, how to look for dangerous signs while you're out in the backcountry, and kind of teach some very basic level decision making so that you're prepared when you move on to your higher level courses. And we can, you know, you can find all those resources online on our website. So if you go over to berthoudpass.org or you look on our Facebook, we have a full calendar where we'll give our event schedule for the year.
Oh, fantastic. Well, it sounds like a wonderful opportunity for people who are interested in exploring Colorado's high country. But let's talk a little bit about avalanches and the facts surrounding them. You know, how they start, who starts them. Why don't you explain a little bit about, you know, the realities of those avalanches?
Sure. So the basic way to kind of describe just an avalanche itself, we kind of like to dive deep to the simple stuff. So avalanches start with 4 key factors. So with an avalanche, you have to have a slab or a layer of cohesive snow. And it's going to be kind of a thick layer, and that's formed every time there's a storm. After that, you have to have a weak layer that's somewhere in the snowpack. And this year, those are really easy to find, unfortunately. And then you have to have a slope. Another word for that is kind of the angle that you're skiing or how steep of a slope you have to have. We typically say between 30 and 45 degrees is the really dangerous zone for avalanches because it's just steep enough that people ski that very often and it's really fun to ski. But the problem is that's where physics come into play and it makes it really easy to send an avalanche downhill. If you're on a slope that's pretty low angle or not very steep, it's a little bit harder to get snow actually moving. And when it's really steep, it kind of just always sloughs off naturally. So you have to have those 4 things. So you have to have the layer of snow. You have to have a weak layer underneath that's trying to hold it up. And then you have to have a trigger, which can be a skier, a snowmobiler, a hiker, an ice climber, or it can be even a rock or a tree. And then those 4 things come into play at the perfect moment, And that's when avalanches happen. And sometimes they can happen remotely. You can actually trigger avalanches from across valleys. You can trigger from below, from above, or in the middle of the slope. And then so far in Colorado, with the 11 fatalities that unfortunately we've had, and we hate to see them at all, we've had a few skiers, we've had one snowboarder that was killed, we've had one snowmobiler, and then one snowshoer. So it's really affecting a lot of different levels of recreation, and a lot of them are just on different types of storm layers, and they're finding themselves in different valleys and kind of really big exposed areas. They've really been all over the state. We've had Vail, we've had way down near Silverton, we've had areas near Loveland and Rollins Pass. So it really doesn't matter where you are. We're just kind of finding it's just a really particularly dangerous season in general.
And given all that, and given that it really even in what might be termed a safe season, avalanches are always a risk, mm-hmm. How should one prepare before going out into the backcountry?
So there's a really fantastic resource that we have as a state because we actually do have the most dangerous snowpack. We actually have the Colorado Avalanche Information Center. It's a website that will give you daily forecasts for 10 different zones of Colorado. And they also have an app that you can download on your phone. That's the more basic forecast. It'll give you your problems for the day and what to expect to see. And then it'll also give you the forecast for the next day. Now, if you go to the website, keep in mind this is all free, so it really is a fantastic resource. I really recommend anyone going into the backcountry to utilize it strongly. If you go on the website, it'll give you really detailed observation reports from different avalanches and accidents through the season so you can kind of follow those trends. So we really try to hone in on people utilizing these forecasts because it'll kind of tell you where your level is of danger for the day. There's five different levels. So it starts down low at green or low, and that doesn't necessarily mean an avalanche isn't going to happen. It just means it might be a little bit less probable. And we're kind of moving towards that trend right now in the season. But the problem is that they're less likely and they're very high consequence. They're going to be very big avalanches with really destructive behavior, and they're going to injure or kill somebody. Then you have, after low, you're going to have considerable, and then you're going to have moderate. You're going to have five different layers. They range all the way up to red, which is high. And then you're going to have black, which is extreme. So those five different levels, those can change daily, and then the forecast actually comes out every morning about, 5 to 6:30 a.m. They've got full-time researchers that are going out, getting observations, following the weather, and they're putting them out for us so that we can make our own decisions. But at least it gives us some good tools to use for when we go in the backcountry.
Okay, Becca, we need to take a short break right now. But when we come back, we'll be talking about getting the right gear, gearing up so that you are prepared. We'll also talk about what to do if an avalanche begins and you're out in it. That's all coming up as The Extra continues today. Our focus, avalanche awareness and safety. You're listening to The Extra. And welcome back to The Extra, the show connecting you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today, our topic is avalanche safety, how to make sure that you are prepared, what to do if an avalanche begins, what to expect in the backcountry. We're talking about all of that with our guests, Becca Headley, an ER nurse and avalanche rescue specialist representing the Friends of Bertha Pass. And we also have with us Elaine Smith, who's co-owner of Mountain Chalet and also is very knowledgeable about the backcountry and gear. Let's talk about some of this gear, Elaine. When it comes to, levels of exploration of the backcountry, I'm sure there are different levels, the entry level to the advanced. So why don't you talk a little bit about what sort of gear is necessary?
Sure. There are basic three elements to the safety gear that everyone should have, regardless of what level they're at. And that's something that Becca did mention before, which is a beacon, a probe, and a shovel. And then a backpack, I guess, would be the fourth item that carries all of that equipment for you. And so those are important to take so that in the event that something happens and somebody you're with on your ski team, your ski group, gets captured by an avalanche, you will have the tools to get them out. So the beacon is a handheld device that you wear in a harness, usually around your chest. Sometimes people put it in a pant pocket, but the harness comes with it and wear it around your chest under clothing so it can't be ripped away. And when you start off on the day, everybody wears that beacon and it's on transmit. And so that if they're buried, that signal will be transmitting out from under the snow. And that's how, if somebody gets caught, you switch your beacon to search and you try to find the person. So you find the person with the beacon signal, you take the probe, and the probe is like a tent pole mm-hmm. that you put into a tent to hold it up. It's very similar to that. And you pull that out. It's 8 to 10 feet long, and you put that into the snow to pinpoint where the person is. And then you, of course, use your shovel to dig them out. So those are the basic elements, basic gear that everybody needs to have.
Okay. And then as you get more advanced, are there levels of other gear that you can get?
Those are the basic. There are some of the beacons come with different features as you get more experience, but the more features something has, the more you need to know about how to use it and be comfortable with using it. It's a very stressful situation, as you can imagine, if you're an avalanche, you are caught in an avalanche, or your partner is caught in an avalanche. So that being more comfortable with the gear is and knowing how to use it and practicing using it is one of the most important things. And there's a course, in addition to what Becca mentioned, and the course they put on, is called an ARRI course, and that acronym stands for American Institute for Avalanche Research and Education. And we recommend, both of us, I think, and Becca can chime in, recommend that before anybody goes out, they go through this course. And it's about a 3-day course, and it's a standardized course that's given across the country, and it has the latest research and education for traveling in the backcountry. And it would be a point where everybody could use all of those pieces of gear and learn how to accurately use them and get practice in on a real slope using them, and they can see what it feels like. So we strongly recommend that.
Right, because I'm guessing the reality is augmented many, many, many times what you may have practiced when you're actually enduring something like that. Becca Headley with Friends of Bertha Pass, also an ER nurse who's practiced and actually, it sounds like, certified as an avalanche rescue specialist. What do you do if an avalanche begins?
So this is absolute worst case scenario, right? And we try to help people make decisions so this never happens. But if it does actually happen, there's a couple of things that you can do. If you're actually skiing on the slope when the avalanche happens, the biggest thing you want to do is make sure that you yell as loud as you can. Yell for your partners. Let them know that you are in trouble. Ideally, we do teach people to ski in groups and to go one at a time so that if this happens, first of all, their partners know that something's wrong because they're watching their other partner ski. And second of all, they are out of the path of danger so they can go get them and rescue them. But the biggest thing is to give your partners a heads up, scream help, scream avalanche. Try to keep your body up high on top of the snow. The first thing you can try to do is to ski out. We recommend skiing out or running out at a 45-degree angle. Believe it or not, it has worked in the past. You just have to kind of think pretty quickly. But the second thing is, if that doesn't work, to try to swim on top of the surface. You'll see a lot of airbags, and Elaine can talk about these too, but the airbags are this newer invention that we've had over the past few years. It has a canister or a battery-powered fan, and you pull a trigger in your backpack when it's happening, and it inflates this huge balloon around the back of your head, and it basically makes your surface area much bigger. It's kind of like a Brazilian nut theory, where when you have a big jar of nuts, the biggest ones stay on top. You want to be the big Brazilian nut that's staying on top of the snow. So you want to increase your surface area. You want to swim. You want to keep your limbs spread out to try to give yourself a chance to stay on top of the snowpack, because you really don't want to get buried down deep. If that does happen, the last thing you can do is try to create an air pocket for yourself to buy yourself a few more minutes of breathing. The suffocation happens because once you're in the snow, the snow settles around your face, and the more you breathe, the more you create this kind of ice wall. And the problem is that air can't penetrate that ice wall anymore. So if you can create an air pocket by kind of shoving your hands in front of your face or shoving your face into your elbow, you can give yourself an extra pocket of air. The rule of thumb is about 15 minutes is the best chance you have for survival. So that's 15 minutes of your partners getting their beacons to search mode, getting their probe and shovel out, and locating you efficiently. So that's why we really hone in getting the classes, practicing the basic skills, and always having those tools with you. That's because it's the skills that we really hope that you never have to use, but we want to teach you the confidence to do it so that you can do it kind of at muscle memory and work efficiently.
And Elaine had mentioned, Becca, about practicing, how important it is to practice, you know, getting that on snow practice. Where in Colorado Springs can folks practice some of this before going out into the backcountry?
So maybe Elaine can chime in on this one too, but I would recommend finding a flatter area to go onto. There's, if you go onto our website, actually, we do have some resources to find beacon parks. And beacon parks is an area where you can practice your actual beacon skills. If you don't have access to a beacon park, then I recommend finding one and wrapping it around something you love, like a case of beer or, you know, your own backpack, digging it down or having your partner hide it from you. Even in your house, this can work. And just using your own beacon to practice finding those signals. The signals are kind of funky. They're in a semicircular form. They kind of look like monkey ears. So you have to find those outer signals to try to hone in on your partner. It's not very straightforward, but there's a method to the madness. And we teach that in our classes, and you really start to learn those skills in a level one and a companion rescue class. So just really getting that muscle memory down so that it's not as stressful when it's a real life situation.
And Elaine, Becca mentioned you might have some ideas too.
Yes, well, one of the things that we wanted to do was have people practice as much as possible. So we did just establish a class that we've had every other Wednesday, and we go out and we use a what's called a beacon basin, and it's actually just a collection of boxes that send out signals, and we can manipulate which box is on and where, and we bring in a group, and we sort of replicate an avalanche, and we have them search, or we can switch which box and change it. We can have one victim, we can have multiple victims, and we send them out to use their own beacon and find which box is sending out the signal. So it's a really good way, and it's the one way that, yes, we're right here in downtown, and you can come see us, and it's easy to get to, and it's a safe environment, a friendly environment. We want to support you and help you get through it so that you get really comfortable with your beacon. So that's one way where we've made other ways to get that practice that is so important.
Right, a low entryway, it sounds like, with not the risk of being out in the elements as much. And I know Mountain Chalet, you stock all of this wonderful gear. You also stock maps. Those are, I'm assuming, very critical when it comes to being aware of where the avalanche dangers are.
Exactly. Knowing how to, you want to plan where you're going before you go out into the backcountry. And so in that respect, and tell people where you're going to as another safety feature. But yes, we have maps on particular areas, beacon guides. Guidebooks is a great resource that we have in the shop. Then we also have our authors who are local skiers who have skied all over Colorado, with Fritz Sperry and Brittany Walker Kinsella and her husband Frank. They've skied almost probably every peak in Colorado, and they have guidebooks that they've written up that they give all how they approach the runs that they're making and what to watch out for. So to give you the best tips that they can about what they found in the backcountry. And it's a great way to help you plan if you're going to pick a spot that suits you.
Okay. Well, and we know all of the experience of you and your staff there at Mountain Chalet can help people plan out their outings as well. We need to take a short break right here. We're with Becca Headley and Elaine Smith, our guests for today, talking about avalanche safety. When we come back, we're going to recap some of what we've discussed. Also talk about some contact information and exciting events that are coming up. So keep it right here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, the show connecting you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today, a topic that has a very somber edge to it. We're talking about avalanche safety in a year when Colorado and the U.S. are seeing near record number of avalanche deaths, and we're not done with this season yet. We are talking with our guest today, Becca Headley, who's an ER nurse and avalanche rescue specialist, who also represents the Friends of Bertha Pass, an organization that really is focused on making sure that people have the right education to explore the outdoors, the high country safely. And also Elaine Smith, who is a co-owner of Mountain Chalet. Mountain Chalet, of course, very well versed in equipping people to go out in the backcountry, and also has a staff that's full of people who have that experience who can help guide you in what you need to know. When we talk about avalanches, one of the things that I think is so unfortunately disarming is that when you see a video of an avalanche, especially from afar or even from up close, from a video camera that's not involved in it, it seems so serene and majestic and sometimes awe-inspiring, but in a very breathtaking way. And it's almost a thing of beauty. But then if you've ever seen video of someone who's been caught in an avalanche, you realize the sheer violence and force of all of that snow sliding off a mountain, one of those slabs coming down. Becca, is that something that you think maybe some less experienced backcountry explorers don't understand?
Absolutely. I think that there's such a beautiful thought process with backcountry skiing, and it's a really fun activity, and it's just really nice to get outside, get into nature, get away from crowds. So it's really alluring, and I can see how a lot of people do get drawn into it. And I think also the problem is that we're seeing a lot of people get away with not getting in an avalanche. It's kind of like we talked about earlier, you're kind of rolling the dice this season if you're doing anything remotely steep or in a dangerous area. It's just a particularly unstable year, and I think that people get so distracted by how gorgeous it is outside and the really fun turns you can make. You can have turns all to yourself. That's why we love to do it. That's why I love to do it. But I think that there definitely is an ugly truth behind that, where it gets easy to get sucked in. You might not realize that you're in over your head before something does happen. And ideally, you know, best case scenario, nothing does. But I think that people have gotten pretty lucky this season so far. So I think that there's maybe a false sense of security behind a lot of this.
And this year, of course, with COVID restrictions on the ski resorts, I mean, the number of reservations for lift tickets has been limited, which I don't know that we've ever seen before. So that's something that may be forcing people to consider that as an alternative to going and, you know, taking in their Black Diamond runs.
Absolutely. And yes, I think Elaine can attest this too.
That's okay.
Go ahead, Elaine.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say that actually some of the resorts for backcountry skiers can be a great place to start out. They have uphill passes, and that allows folks that are going backcountry skiing to ski at the resort, to use the equipment, to get used to it, to make, you know, go practice going uphill as well as downhill, and they don't have to worry immediately about the avalanche risk. So that's a really good opportunity and a good way to transition into going further out into the backcountry during the times when it's really more dangerous. And there will be times when it's less, but we all want to be really smart about when we choose to do that and to be really prepared. That's I think, is our biggest focus, is to be really prepared and knowledgeable.
Right. And gaining this preparation, gaining this knowledge, gaining expertise with the gear is what the Friends of Bertha Pass and Mountain Chalet are all about and why they've agreed to join me on this show today. I'd like to thank our guests, Elaine Smith, co-owner of Mountain Chalet, as well as Becca Headley, who's with the Friends of Bertha Pass. A reminder, Mountain Chalet is going to have a beacon event, another one. They conduct these free classes to help folks learn how to better use their beacons for safety. That's a top item that you need if you're going into the backcountry. Elaine, when's the next event?
We're going to have it on next Wednesday. So it's coming up, and then another one on the 24th. So that's the 10th and the 24th of March.
Fantastic.
And you can sign up on our website.
And that is
easy to do.
mtnchalet.com. And also, we should mention Becca's website, birthedpass.org. And I'd like to thank Becca and Elaine for joining us today. We're out of time here on The Extra, but thanks to my guests and thanks to you, our listeners, who have made this a wonderful part of our morning.